I want to start out in Ephesians chapter 2, and I think this will be the fourth message that we've brought about salvation, and not so much as how to get saved, even though obviously we mention that every week, as to some things that take place when we get saved. And these are truths that we find in Paul's epistles concerning our salvation that are really glorious. And I want to reiterate the fact that I do not believe that you have to know all of these details about all that takes place at salvation in order to get saved. I believe all a person needs to know is, number one, they're a sinner, and number two is that Christ died for our sins, according to Scriptures. He was buried, and He rose again the third day, according to Scriptures. A person that believes that and puts their trust in that and that alone, I believe, is saved. After we get saved, and the Apostle Paul spoke to this when he wrote to Timothy, he said it was God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And so, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, Paul says, "For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So how do we get saved? We get saved by grace. We get saved by believing the gospel. Look back in chapter 1, in verse 13, he said, "In whom you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." So there's the hearing of the gospel, there's the believing of the gospel, and upon believing, there's being sealed by the Holy Spirit. And that's one of the first things that we covered in the study, was that every saved individual, by one Spirit, is baptized into one body. Every individual is indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, and every individual is sealed under the day of redemption. I think I'll turn this on. It'll work better probably if I do. I know all those people out there in Facebook land are just dying for us. All two of them. So in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, Paul makes that statement. "For by grace are you saved through faith." And with that salvation, there are numerous other doctrines that speak to all that we have in Christ as a result of being saved by grace. We talked about justification. We've talked about redemption and the sealing of the Spirit. The atonement would go right along with the redemption that's in Christ. And how he gave himself a ransom for all. Now, if you will, go back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. Well, let's just back up a little bit in the chapter there to get the context. Verse 26. "Where you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence." In other words, the reason God has chosen to save people in the way that He's saving them is so that we have nothing in our flesh to glory in. "For by grace are you saved through faith." It's not of our works. It's not of our ability. It's not our holding out and holding on till the end or enduring to the end. It is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that He died for our sins, was buried and rose again the third day. Now, in verse 30, Paul says, "But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So this morning, I want to conclude this study. And you could go on with this practically forever with all the things that we have in Christ. But in this verse, we see the righteousness is mentioned. We talked about that one Sunday. We see the redemption is mentioned. We talked about that last week. But then the middle one there is sanctification. And this is one that a lot of times people, I think, there's confusion over. Because unlike righteousness and justification, there are really two sides to sanctification. There's what I call personal or positional sanctification, but then there's also conditional sanctification or personal sanctification, and we'll look at that in a moment. But Paul says here that God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification. Look in Romans chapter 15. In Romans 15, the word sanctified, the word saint, they all come from a root word that means holy, or set apart, set aside. In Romans chapter 15, in verse 16, Paul says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. We are sealed by the Holy Ghost, and with that sealing we are sanctified, we are set apart. We are God, we belong to God. Last week we talked about the ransom that He paid, and we've been bought with a price. So we belong to God Almighty. And He said, because we belong to God, we're to serve God in our spirit and our body, which are His. Now, go back to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. In Acts 26, we have an account of Paul's salvation and some instructions concerning what he is to do. In Acts 26, verse 16. But rise, this is the Lord speaking to Paul, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. In other words, part of that ministry, he says, is to those that have received, he said, that they might receive an inheritance among them, and they are sanctified by faith that is in me. We are called saints in numerous places in the Bible. And becoming a saint has nothing to do with some religious system bestowing sainthood upon you. Every saved person is considered a saint. Every saved person is sanctified. Look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, or 1 Corinthians 1, where we were a moment ago. In 1 Corinthians 1, notice there in verse 2, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. You say, well, I know a lot of people that name the name of Christ and they don't act sanctified. They don't look sanctified. Well, you see, sanctification is like justification, righteousness, and so forth. the positional sanctification that we have in Christ has nothing to do with what we do in our flesh. It has to do with what Christ has made us, as we read there in verse 30. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So we have sanctification. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look there in verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Now notice, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now, as I said a moment ago, the fact that you didn't know about these things doesn't change the facts of what happened when you trusted Christ as your Savior. You were made righteous. You were justified. You were redeemed. You were sanctified. We were glorified and will yet be glorified. On and on the list goes. So whether you feel like a saint, act like a saint, or look like a saint, you is a saint. You're a saint. And I mean, people put a lot of stock in, you know, St. Patrick and all that kind of stuff. Well, if you feel inclined to do so, you can just call me St. Steve. And I'll call you St. Doug and St. Gloria and, I mean, whatever. We're saints. We were made that in Christ Jesus. There were things that took place in a supernatural way that established us as members of the body of Christ. One of them, you were washed, you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. Look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In 2 Thessalonians 2. Now you know, when you teach these things, sometimes people, for some reason, it bothers them. And I think it bothers them because mankind wants to be able to do these things himself. He wants to be able to help God get him to heaven. He wants to help God get him saved. That's why I start in Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith. Has nothing to do with what we do. Has everything to do with what Christ did at Calvary and accepting that. And in Him we are just have all these blessings. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, look in verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Paul covers there how you got saved. You were sanctified how? By belief of the truth. That doesn't say that He chose certain ones to be saved and excludes certain ones. It's telling how those people got sanctified. How? By belief of the truth. When you believe the gospel and trust Christ, you got sanctified. You got justified. Made righteous, holy, and so forth. Verse 14, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful, wonderful blessings. Now, we then are saints of God. We're sanctified. We're set apart unto His service. We're not our own. God desires that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That knowledge of the truth is what God desires that we apply to our life and walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we've been called. We're saved by grace. But there in verse 10 in Ephesians 2, he says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So, I want us to look at the other side then of sanctification, what I call conditional sanctification. And you can find verses about that right here in Thessalonians. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. Well, then, there's a couple of things there. Number one, he says, we beseech you that and exhort you that you've received of us how you ought to walk. Well, then there are instructions in Paul's epistles about our walk, not just our salvation. You see, the idea that God doesn't care anything about how we live is just ludicrous. I mean, it's completely unscriptural. God has outlined how He desires for us to function as members of His body. And He rebukes throughout His letters those that do not. Hold on here and look back in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4:17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth what? Walk. Not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance in them because of the blindness of their heart, which being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Notice, but ye have not so learned Christ. Paul is saying to these people, you're living like you're not even saved. You're living like those Gentiles who are walking after the flesh. He said, they're past feeling. They've given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you haven't learned, you didn't learn that from Christ. He said, if so be that you've heard Him and been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed, where? In the spirit of your mind. The Word of God is to be a mind changer. We think one thing, we read the Scriptures, and if we line our mind up with the Word of God, then the Bible says we have the mind of Christ. People always want to know what is the will of God. Well, I found out a long time ago that it's a lot easier to know the will of God than it is to do it. People read words straight from this book and won't obey them. You remember what Paul said to the Corinthians? He said, if any man be spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Now, you know us grace believers, we don't like commandments. We don't want nobody telling us what we ought to do. We don't like the law. We don't like commandments. But listen, we got some commandments from our apostle, the Apostle Paul. Not suggestions, commandments. Go back to 1 Thessalonians 4. You're going to see a reference to those commandments right here. 1 Thessalonians 4, let's start again in verse 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk, and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. But wait a minute, they're already sanctified. We read that a moment ago in about the Thessalonians. Well, then there's two sides of sanctification. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despises not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2. You see, folks, God Almighty saved us. He redeemed us. He justified us. He made us righteous. He indwelt us with his Holy Spirit. And by that Spirit, he baptized us into the body of Christ. And we're all one in Christ. Now that we are, God expects and desires for us to walk worthy of that vocation, to walk according to his word and according to his will. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babbling, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver. By the way, in the context there, I believe the iniquity would be the false doctrine that was being taught. But in a great house, verse 20, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, those of dishonor, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. You see, folks, when people hear the truth, they can either accept that or they can continue in the era of religion today that teaches a man-made salvation, a man-work salvation, and be under the bondage of that system that tells them that their blessings are dependent upon their actions, how much money they give, how they live, and so forth, or they can adhere to the writings of the Apostle Paul, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. Well, I mean, we quote that verse all the time with the emphasis on rightly dividing the word of truth. But think about what he said. Study to show thyself what? Approved unto God. Well, then it must be possible for a saved person not to be approved of God in his action, even though we've been accepted in the beloved as far as our salvation is concerned. Paul's here is talking about our actions. A workman needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. People that are out there in religious systems that teach them a lie, teach them false doctrine, and so forth, they end up being a vessel of dishonor. Paul said you ought to purge yourself from these. He said if a man purge himself from these, then he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, that is, set apart and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Like up in verse 15. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Look in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. You see, folks, you can have zeal. People can be zealous of their religion. They can go to church every Sunday. They can give money all the time and still be lost and on their way to hell. They can get involved in a system that in one word says salvation is by grace, but then turns right around and implies that if you don't do certain things, then you're not saved. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, Paul said he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You see up there, he said, the perfecting of the saints. Well, then, there's a perfecting process that goes about, and it comes about by the Word of God, the instruction that we receive from His Word. And in that Word, we have instructions about how we ought to walk and what we ought to do as a result of who we are in Christ. Now, in the last part of the message here that we have, I want to go over some things briefly. And I'm not going to take a lot of time on these things like I have the others. We spent whole messages on some of these topics. But I want you to notice some things that we have as being members of the body of Christ that were not of our doing in any way. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, notice there in verse 19, Paul says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." Then we've been made citizens of heaven. Look back in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse... let's start in verse 1. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ." So we've been made alive. We've been quickened. "By grace you're saved. And notice, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ." Now obviously Paul is talking in a spiritual sense here. But God Almighty saved us. He quickened us. He did it himself, God who is rich in mercy. And he raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so we are citizens already of heaven. We're just waiting to go there. And the reason of that is verse 7. "That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." You see, there was never prophesied in Scripture that people like you and I and people like those Ephesians would be saved. It was a mystery, hidden God. But when Paul was saved and came forth as the apostle of the Gentiles, the door of salvation was open to all men so that people like you and I could be fellow heirs and citizens and citizens of heaven. We got there not on the basis of what we did, but on the basis of what Christ did. We are already there in the sense of spiritually speaking, and our purpose in the future is going to be to show the exceeding riches of His grace, because we didn't deserve to be there. And we're there because of what He did for us at Calvary. That's why it says down there in verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are His workmanship." God made us accepted in the Beloved, redeemed us, justified us. We're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. But it's unto good works, which God foreordained that we should walk in them. Again, our walk. So we are citizens of heaven. We're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We are members of Christ's body. We are His temple. We are forgiven all trespasses in Colossians chapter 2. I'm just going over these because we've already touched on them. We're holy and without blame. We're made righteous in Him. We have eternal life through His free gift. And notice in Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. "Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after tradition of men, after rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him, that is in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. There's nothing that can be added, folks. Then Paul uses two things that were very important to the nation Israel. In verse 11 and 12, notice what he says. In whom, that is in Christ, also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. You see, you don't need a physical circumcision like the Jews did. While a Jewish man in the Old Testament was cut off from the nation if he would not be circumcised. Every male child was circumcised on the eighth day. Paul said, we are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. Peter came forth preaching the baptism of repentance for remission of sins. Paul said, we're buried with Him in baptism, wherein also we are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God. That's not water baptism, folks. That's spirit baptism. And we have that in Christ. That's why he's able to say you're complete in Him. It's not you've been saved, now you need to do this or do that. Yes, we have instruction from the Apostle Paul, but as far as doing things in our flesh, religious observances and so forth, there's no need for any of those any longer. We're complete in Christ. Not only that, look back in Romans chapter 8. In Romans 8, I mentioned to you that we're part of the household of God, but not only are we part of the household of God, we are God's children, adopted into the family of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We are His sons. We're accepted in the blood. And in Romans 8, 17, the Bible says, if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. The glorification process is in Christ Jesus. It's not in what we do. You see, when you consider what we were lost. We were dead in sin. The Bible says while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. We were ungodly. We were unrighteous. We were under a curse. We were condemned. We were without Christ. We were without hope. We were without God in the world. We were enemies of God. We were under the penalty of death. And we were facing the lake of fire. And then God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die at Calvary. And He died on that cross for our sins. And now, instead of being all that we were, as I just mentioned, now we're saved by grace through faith. Now we are justified. Now we are sanctified. We're reconciled. We've been redeemed. We've been sealed. We've been delivered from the wrath to come. We're the elect of God. We are crucified with Christ. We're buried with Christ. We're risen with Christ. And we're alive with Christ. All of that according to Colossians 2 that we just read. And all of that is based on what God did for us. Because of His love. Because of His great love. Go back to Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 4. We stopped in verse 22 a moment ago. This is God's will as He lays it out through the Apostle Paul. Verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt, according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Paul makes mention of that in Romans chapter 12. Be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind is renewed by the Word of God. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. It's important, the words that we speak. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Every epistle that Paul writes, he emphasizes love among the saints. Apparently he knew something. He didn't have to know something because he wrote by inspiration of God. And God knows our heart. He knows how the flesh is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. And God knows that the most difficult thing that we encounter most of the time is love for those that are unlovely. Love for those that don't like us. Love for those that would want to harm us. Love for those that would reject us. And yet Paul says, be followers of God as dear children. There's that sanctification. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. He says over in verse 26 or 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Folks, I wish that I could impress upon you the love that Christ had for us. And not only the love that he had for us, but all that that resulted in. So that all of these things that we mentioned here, we can glory in, we can rest in, knowing that they're of God. Not of the flesh, but of Christ. We have all of these things in him. Forgiven of all trespasses. I started to mention a moment ago, and I don't think I completed the thought there. I have a hard time understanding why people want to resist that glorious truth of all that we have in Christ. I would suspect it's because they want to somehow get the glory to themselves. But come on, he did it all. We are made all of these things. We have all that we have. And one day, we'll be with him eternally and throughout glory. We'll be a demonstration. We'll be a trophy, if you will, of his grace. Brother Moore used to say that he could imagine walking through heaven and John or Peter would come up to Christ and say, show me this thing of grace. And he just turned and pointed to one of us because we deserved hell. We were outside the covenants of promise. And by his blood, he purchased us so that we have eternal life through his dear son. If you've never received that free gift, folks, there's no reason not to do it. There's not a reason in the world why you should reject this great gift of salvation. It's not a matter of walking an aisle, confessing your sins, saying a prayer, getting baptized, taking the Lord's Supper, giving your money, or anything else. People sitting right where they are without getting up and moving a muscle. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, why don't you receive him right now? Maybe somebody listening there on Facebook, on the internet, you've never trusted Him. You can never go back and give a time when you really put your faith in Him. Oh, I've always believed the Bible, always believed what's, but did you ever receive the free gift of salvation? If you haven't, do so. And do it right now. Before we close, I wanted to mention this earlier, and I forgot to at the beginning of the message. I've mentioned this every week, the last couple of weeks, but we do have a number of people that listen to us from Texas. And I wanted to remind the folks out there that in the last weekend of Texas, we're going to be having a Bible conference there in Round Rock, Texas. It'll be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the last full weekend in February. And we would love to have you within driving distance, or even if you have to fly to get there, we'd love to have all of you folks from out in Texas be there. I'll be preaching there, Brother Jerry Lockhart, Brother Mark Rumfella, Brother Steve Gottberg, and there'll be others as well, I'm sure, but I don't have all the list. Had one man contact me this week and asked me who was speaking. I told him those four, and he said, "That's okay, we'll probably come anyway." So even if you weren't attracted by those preachers I just mentioned, come on anyway, because there'll probably be somebody there you like. And we'd love to have you with us. The room's being provided. And if you need more information about that, there's a link to our email on the website. If you'll email me, then I'll put you in contact with Steve Gottberg, and he has all the details of where we're staying, the times of the services, and so forth. I thank you for being here today. Would you stand with me for prayer?